We are back from vacation, and the election's still going on.
Hello, welcome to the Prickly City Podcast for October 21st, 2016. I'm Janine Faddish, and here is your host and the creator of Prickly City, Scott Stantz.
She doesn't miss a beat. That was very good. I like the kind of like Tonight Show thing.
Ish.
Name thing. Hey, listen, everyone. Thanks for listening to this week's edition of the Prickly City Podcast. Like I mentioned, and I mentioned last time, and I'll mention again, we went on vacation to the southeast would be the ocean. We're in the middle of the...
It would be in Chicago.
It'd be Florida. We were actually in Arizona, and I gave a speech with the great cartoonist at the Arizona Daily Star, David Fitzsimmons, and we sold out a venue, this Loft Theater in Tucson, did a great cartoon debate, and I thought it went really, really well. It was a lot of fun.
It did. It went very well.
Yeah, and then we just ended up celebrating our 35th, not ending up, because we knew it was coming, because we can, you know, read a calendar.
It wasn't a surprise.
No, it wasn't, but it was our 35th wedding anniversary. So it's been 35 pretty amazing years, huh?
It's been very nice.
Not amazing?
Amazing.
It's been nice. What the?
I'll still sign up for more. How's that?
Jeez. Oh, yeah, it's okay. You know, it's, I don't know. Could be worse. It could be a serial killer. Or...
You're not, that I know of. If you are, you hide it very well.
Anyway, so at least one of us was really happy to be celebrating our 35th wedding anniversary. And then we popped over and celebrated Janine's folks' 60th wedding anniversary, which is cool, too. They both seemed happy about that one. Then we flew back to Arizona, and one of us was really happy to be celebrating it.
Now we're back.
Are you celebrating that?
It's kind of chilly here, so not really.
Wow. Okay. You really weren't...
What?
You can be excited about something.
I was excited. I'm just looking at the stuff here. I'm getting ready to do the, you know, read the comments and stuff, and then you throw me off with other stuff. I'm like, in comment mode.
How hard is this to say, yeah, it's been a great 35 years. How hard is this?
It has been a great 35 years. I did that. I said it on Facebook.
Okay, but you can't say it on the podcast.
I just feel awkward.
Why?
Because I don't know these people listening. It just feels weird.
Wow. Just that to admit that you like your husband?
No, just to talk about anything personal on it. It's odd to me. But you're used to it.
Okay.
I'm not.
Well, it's not that.
It was wonderful. It's the best 35 years of my life. How's that? It's true. But should we discuss the strip now?
All right. Yeah, sure. Let's go talk about that.
That's awkward.
You think? Not because of me. I'm going, hey, great marriage. Here's my wonderful wife. I love her to death. Isn't this wonderful? Yeah, it's okay. What?
I'm just trying to move on to the actual podcast that people might be listening to, Prickly City stuff.
Okay. We're on our way. Okay.
Can we just start over?
No. We're going to move forward, though. We are going to move forward.
Okay.
This week in Prickly City, or last week, should we talk about this week?
This week.
We'll talk about this week. Okay, so Gary Johnson, of course, was on Chris Matthews and could not name a world leader that he admired. I don't know that I could, to be perfectly honest, but he couldn't name a world leader. You can turn the question around. There are ways to address it, questions, and you actually answer the question you wish they'd asked, not the one that they actually did, and that kind of... dexterity does seems to elude the good governor of former governor of New Mexico. Bill Weld was in the background trying to help him out. It was really not a good moment for him. But given that two bad moments, and hey, listen, I'm not going to defend the guy. Two bad moments and embarrassing moments, frankly. But, you know, how many embarrassing moments has Hillary had? How many embarrassing moments has Trump had? It just seems to me that the mainstream media has kind of taken off and they've made a decision that Hillary has to win for the, you know, survival of the republic. And they kind of went after Gary Johnson very heavy-handedly. They tried vote shaming, which I think did I bring it up in this week or is that coming up?
That's what you're bringing up today, actually.
Okay, vote shaming. And it's, you know, and that's exactly what's happening. And listen, if you can't vote for, in good conscience, Donald Trump or Hillary Clinton, you're not throwing your vote away by voting for Gary Johnson or Jill Stein. You're voting your conscience, which is what you should be doing. And in turn, as Janine has pointed out numerous times, we need more voices in these elections. The two-party system is broken. It's ginned against people like you and me. So what's the best thing to do, and what's the practical thing to do is, well, let's bring in the third-party candidates.
And it's better to vote for a third party than stay home. A lot of people have been talking about they're just not going to vote, and that sends no message whatsoever. And by voting for a third party, at least you're saying, I don't like the choices. This is how I feel. I'm voting. I'm getting my voice heard.
Right. So later in the week, the storyline talks about Honey Bunny, which I accidentally, obviously,
let's point it out with a comment.
Okay, let's do that, Janine.
Okay, so FBJSR says, didn't any of you notice the mistake? It should have been Honey Bunny, not Hillary. Cheapskate Zero said, actually I did, but I didn't know whether to comment. Perhaps a, in quotes, mistake, or is Stantis coming around to the idea that Honey Bunny does not represent Hillary after all? NightGaunt49 said, Honey Bunny is Hillary. Then he says later, I found it psychologically telling, and he has already said he doesn't like Trump, so why isn't Scott skewering him worse?
Is that it?
Yeah, on that.
Okay, yeah. Well, Honey Bunny is Hillary. She's an amalgam of her worst qualities. She was married to a former senator, not the former president, of course, Kevin, who's kind of fun. I need to bring him back soon. But Kevin, the lost bunny of the apocalypse, is her husband. So she succeeded to his Senate seat when he lost that. And so now she's running for president. So, yeah, it's a metaphor, though, obviously, because first off, Hillary Clinton doesn't have long ears and a fluffy tail that we're aware of. Donald Trump is the only one I've left the name on. And in hindsight, I kind of regret it.
Well, the reason you did that was because you've kept some of these people with their names, but you didn't expect him to be in it as long.
No.
You thought he was going to be gone, so he didn't need to actually be a character. He was just going to be passing through.
Right. He just going to be. Yeah, exactly. He was going to be, a sideshow attraction, but the main candidate would have been, I was kind of hoping it would have been Rubio. That didn't quite work out. And now if you're watching Rubio's election down in Florida, he's still not presidential timber, I'm afraid. But there were others who I thought would, and some very qualified and good ones who would be, clearly they're going to get the nomination. Obviously, you win the Iowa straw poll. Trump wins that. Michelle Bachmann won it a few election cycles ago. And, so you just go, well, that's a quirk. And now we're going to go forward and get serious about the nominee. As it goes to show you what us expert like me knows. So Trump remained, although he did morph into, he became an animal as well.
Mm-hmm.
And a skunk. And I thought that seemed appropriate. And now I have never shown Gary Johnson, just because I really do like and respect him. And so I've never had him metamorphosize. Yeah, you just see pieces of him. And So putting Hillary in there was a big mistake on my part. My assistant didn't see it. Janine didn't see it. Editors at the syndicate didn't see it. Nobody caught it. So there it goes. And you do 365 of these a year, you're going to probably screw up a handful of times, and you just apologize and you move forward. So I apologize.
You didn't answer that. And here's another
question. Well, what didn't I answer?
Darson54 said, we noticed Stantis never comments on Trump's long and proven record for lying. And you didn't answer NightGaunt saying, why aren't you skewering him worse?
It all depends on whose ox is being gored, doesn't it? Because I devastate, because he's still around, but I go after Donald Trump pretty heavily and show him to be a liar, boisterous man-child. And my disagreement with him is not the lies, which stay with me on this line of logic, is that he's an impetuous man-child. And by being a childlike person, of course you're going to lie every third word. That's what children do. Little bastards. But that's what they do. And so for me, if I expose and exaggerate this sort of blustering, bullying, a 7-year-old encompassed in a Oompa Loompa, a bloated Oompa Loompa, then, you know, yeah, then the line goes without saying. But to say that I don't attack Donald Trump in the strip is ridiculous. Of course I do.
So when you basically concentrate a lot on Hillary / Honey Bunny's line, it's because you find that the most offensive thing about her.
I find that to be the most defining thing about her. And, you know, bear in mind, I have one day, one thing, one day to say what I need to say. I can say it over a span of one or two, three, 4 days or a week or whatever time I think is necessary to make the point. But, you know, the structure of and how comic strips and my editorial cartoons as well work is you have one point a day to make. And so I can say today, Hillary is a liar. Well, then they say, well, why didn't you mention Trump? And why didn't you mention Jill Stein? And why didn't you vaccine? And why didn't you mention Johnson and Aleppo? And all? I go, I have one point to make each day. That's all
and
you
so
have
you
room
pick and
for.
Choose what you think is the most important?
Yes. And what I think is the most defining.
And are the characters basically are also caricatures. They're not, you take their qualities and you exaggerate them,
of course.
Except for in Donald Trump's case, because there's no way to exaggerate
How
that.
How do you exaggerate an exaggeration? It's almost impossible. But yeah, that's exactly right, is that these are caricatures. And they, you know, and the whole thing, obviously coming from editorial cartooning, is, you know, hyperbole, misquoting, and, you know, the tools that good journalists will never use.
Well, that makes sense.
Okay, then. So we have other comments. Comments. Oh, we get comments. Lots
you
and lots and lots
do.
And lots and
well,
lots of
a lot of people were talking about the mistake. And Chuck Little said the question was a world leader that you like. Maybe he knows who they are, just doesn't like any. That might make it harder to be president than if he didn't know them.
You know, that's kind of my point. If someone asked me, what world leader do you respect? Janine?
You don't have any?
Do you?
Well, you don't like Merkel?
She's okay. Not crazy about the EU, and I'm not crazy about the German economy sort of taking over the rest of Europe. Somehow, Germany,
they do it. They're the ones making the money.
Yeah. So they have the power to march across the continent. Wait, they've done this before. Help me here. No, I'm trying to think of some others who... You know, I am at a loss.
Well, good thing you're not running for president.
Good thing, yeah. Although I think I could answer it in a better way than the, I'm having an Aleppo moment. I would say simply that there are some that I find who are going to be dangerous, and I would say Putin would be one, obviously.
Even with his shirt off?
Yeah, and riding the horse and punching a dolphin or whatever the hell else he does. Yeah, I think there are a lot of dangerous leaders out there. Kim from North Korea, of course. You've got the mullahs in Iran. You've got ISIS. I mean, there's a lot of leaders that I find are going to fight against American interests and who will make life as a president very uncomfortable. But I can't think of one that I wish they could run for president. That would be awesome. I don't think that. Although Trudeau up in Canada is, I've been impressed with him so far. But he's young, and his dad was nuts. So.
Oh, and he has time to disillusion you.
Oh, yeah. But they're Canadian. How much? What's he going to do? You know.
I know. They're so likable.
Surrey. That's what, if he does anything. If he,
unless you're so cute.
If they, they invaded us, you know, Surrey.
Oh, it's okay. Go ahead. Isn't that adorable?
America's hat. Okay. What? Any more comments or anything we need to get to?
I think that's good for now.
Okay, we're done? Okay.
Yeah, I think we're done.
She's giving me the sign that we need to say goodbye, and she's probably right. We've run a little long today, so I apologize for that. Hey, listen, thank you for indulging us this week. We're going to get back on a regular schedule, so we'll be back again next week. In the meantime, I want to thank the folks here at WGN Plus. I want to thank Michael Heidemann.
Hey, Michael.
Hey, Michael. He's waving to us again. Silent Michael, we'll call him. The boy without a voice. I'm working on some children's books. I think I might come up with that. I like that. Anyway, Michael, thank you. Thank you all. Janine, thank you.
You're welcome.
And thank you all. If you want to keep up with us, go ahead and go to WGNplus.com and check out the web. You can also subscribe to us on iTunes, you know, the Apple Store, that thing. or check up on us at gocomics.com. prickly.com or scottstantis.com. If you want to send us a message directly, go ahead and do that at pricklycity@gmail.com. I think that about covers it for now. Again, thank you for listening. We'll talk to you again real soon. And until then, we'll see you in the funny papers.